To order, welcome everyone. Do we have someone who would open our court today with an invocation? Do we have a volunteer? All right,
thank you, Judge.
Okay. Billy, if you would please, let's all stand together. And then if you would lead us in the pledges as well.
Father, we thank you for another day of business, an opportunity to work together as a community to strengthen each other. We thank you for our leaders today. And Father, we do ask that you would bless our time together, that we may discuss the great work that you have in the growing county of Montgomery County, and may it be a blessed time in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Our pledges?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you all, and you may be seated. Let the record reflect that all are present for our court this morning. Do I have a motion to approve the court agenda?
Move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Do we have any citizens who would like to make or offer comments this morning on any items on our consent or our open agenda? All right. If there are none, then let's go ahead and let's move forward to proclamations, resolutions, and presentations. Commissioner Riley.
We are going to delay this for right now. We're going to do that at another time.
All right. Thank you, sir. Presentation of Employee of the Month.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. My name is Tracy Hutchison, and I'm the chairman for the Employees Committee. Today, we're going to be presenting May Employee of the Month. They're going to receive a plaque and a gift certificate to Benihana's. Can I please have Bruce Gussler come up to present our Employee of the Month?
Welcome, Bruce.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Good morning, Judge. Good morning, Commissioners.
Morning. Morning.
I am honored today to be able to present the Employee of the Month to a very special young lady from the auditor's office, Miss Amanda Vance. Amanda, would you please come up here? I'm gonna apologize ahead of time, but I love you. Amanda is one of those quiet heroes that is always behind the scenes, helping everybody around her, doing an outstanding job, and of course, doesn't like being in the spotlight. I apologize, Amanda. You have to tolerate a little bit of spotlight today. Amanda was nominated by our administrative supervisor, Kara Evans, and I would really like to read a few of her comments from the nomination letter. Amanda is our grant reporting accountant, but I just call her our superhero. Amanda is the epitome of the type of person you would want protecting the county's funds. She's professional, she's kind, she's calm, she's smart, she's diplomatic, she's a team player, and a team captain. The knowledge she possesses regarding all of the rules for spending and keeping track of funds in excess of $9 million just for our department alone is astounding. Amanda is a perfect coworker that everyone needs. She hasn't done one thing above and beyond. She does all things above and beyond.
Very nice.
Carries her professionalism like a cape. Always has a smile with her like a sidekick and drives the grant department like a car made especially for her. She's dependable, comes to the rescue often, and never expects anything for her good deeds. Just quietly carries on with a smile for everyone. She allows us to go about our day knowing she's there and just a call or email away if needed. I hope everyone has a superhero Amanda. Congratulations.
Cool.
Here you go.
Would you say that into the microphone for the record?
So one of the things he handled was all the CARES Act expenses, grant approval and such. And she's also going to be working on ARPA funds.
Awesome. Right. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Good job. Well done.
Thank you, Judge.
Thank you, Bruce. Appreciate it. All right, if we can move on to our next item, consider discuss resolution acknowledging the humanitarian crisis at the U.S. southern border. The governor of Texas, Governor Abbott, as you are aware, is spending about $868 million on shoring up our border and has asked for the states, throughout the state, counties, to support what he's doing. I drafted this resolution. Let me read it quickly. It's not long, but if you'll allow me. Whereas the health, life, and property of residents of Montgomery County is under imminent threat from the influx of foreign nationals unlawfully crossing into Texas from Mexico. And whereas the ongoing border crisis has resulted in hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens overwhelming our state and federal law enforcement. And whereas this continual violation of our sovereignty and border integrity has resulted in Montgomery County being impacted with the dangers born from illicit drugs, human trafficking, exposure to deadly transmissible diseases, and thus is a direct threat to the lives and safety of Montgomery County residents. And whereas the public health and safety of the residents of Montgomery County is under imminent threat of disaster from an elevated risk of exposure to unknown variants of COVID-19, tuberculosis, influenza, mumps, measles, rubella, polio, and other virulent diseases resulting from the uncontrolled movement by foreign nationals. And whereas residents of Montgomery County are bearing the expense of additional law enforcement personnel that are needed to protect life and safety due to the increase criminal activity brought across the border into Texas by drug cartels and criminal organizations who exploit our population through the transmission of illicit drugs and human trafficking. And whereas the ongoing cost of illegal immigration expand well beyond the increased jail expenses and law enforcement costs to include education spending and public health, equating to millions of dollars in additional cost to our taxpayers. And whereas the above mentioned issues have direct negative impact on the financial cost of government in Montgomery County, and due to the ongoing crisis and surge at the Texas-Mexico border, these costs are likely to significantly increase in the coming months. And whereas extraordinary measures must be taken to ensure the protection of the health, safety, and welfare of the residents of Montgomery County, now therefore be it resolved by the Commissioner's Court of Montgomery County that the Commissioner's Court of Montgomery County, Texas, request the federal government take necessary actions to enforce existing immigration laws, protect the citizens of the United States and of Montgomery County, by securing the U.S.-Mexico border in order to reestablish and maintain our sovereignty and border integrity. Secondly, the Commissioner's Court of Montgomery County, Texas, requests the federal government fully reimburse Montgomery County and the state of Texas for all costs incurred related to the failure of the federal government to adequately secure our borders. Says passed and approved 25th day of May 2021. Do I have a motion to approve?
Move.
Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion carries. Gentlemen, thank you very much as we move forward on this significant issue. All right. We move on to item D, a presentation of Lone Star Groundwater Conservation District providing update Montgomery County's groundwater. Harry, you and I had talked, Mr. President, Harry, you and I have talked, and you said it would take about 6.5 to 7 minutes. That time is granted. So if you would, please.
Thank you, Judge and Commissioners. Good morning. My name is Harry Hardeman. I'm the president of the Lone Star Groundwater Conservation District. I'll just refer to it as Lone Star moving forward. I know most of y'all are familiar with Lone Star, but I would like to just spend a moment on a couple of items. First of all, we are now an elected board, And secondly, and you'll hear me repeat this often, we utilize the best science available to regulate and conserve groundwater in Montgomery County. I wanted to call your attention to the map on the right-hand side. You'll notice Montgomery County is in the center. The purple counties surrounding us are the ones that constitute the GMA, the Groundwater Management Association. I'm sorry, Groundwater Area. And we're GMA 14. That's important because they're the deciding factor on what we're going to be talking about today, which is desired future conditions. So what are DSCs? You may have heard this phrase before. A desired future condition is really what we want the aquifers to look like down in the future. We're looking at 60 years down the road, and we're now planning for 2080. This happens every 5 years, which allows us to amend our rules based on data that we get, and as science continues to improve, so does the management of our aquifers. We start about a month ago with our public comment period, which will run through the end of July, or July the 19th, and these DFCs are planned to be voted on in January of 2022. As you'll notice, it's quite the process. We're about three quarters of the way through it. Currently, the GMA has proposed two desired future conditions. The first is that each county of the GMA draw down no more than 30% of the available groundwater in the aquifer, or by 2080 that we have 70% of the groundwater available still. The second is that between 2009 and 2080, the average subsidence for any county may be more than 1 foot. Let's take a look at these two metrics, starting with the 70%. We support this desired future condition. The metric is a confirmed limiting factor for the county, which means once we approach that 30% drawdown, the district needs to evaluate whether cutbacks are appropriate. The DFC is viable. We have the equipment in our aquifers to measure the remaining water and provide accurate measurements. However, we do not support the 1 foot subsidence metric because it is not one that we can accurately measure. This is a map of the subsidence measurement sites in the county. You'll notice that the northern part of the county does not have any sites. In fact, a recent report by the Houston Advanced Research Center called our measurement sites sparse. Since this metric is a countywide average and our limited equipment is located on the south of the county, which is naturally more susceptible to subsidence, our metric would be artificially skewed higher and artificially restrict us in the future. Additionally, you'll notice that most of our measurement sites are near the county line. As a result, these sites are influenced just as much, if not more, given their substantially higher pumping rates, by what happens in North Harris County as what happens in Montgomery County. If we stop pumping groundwater, but Harris County does not, these areas can still be susceptible to subsidence. Finally, this is an unrealistic metric for groundwater, for a groundwater district. Harris County is managed by a subsidence district, which was created with the express intent to prevent and end subsidence. Yet they have allowed more than 1 foot of subsidence in just the last 16 years in northern part of Harris County, and over 10 feet in other areas of the county over the 40 years that they've been in existence. Creating flexibility in the 1 foot average desired future condition, Lone Star knows that subsidence has been a topic of interest over the past few years. We remain exceptionally vigilant and continue to uphold our charge of controlling subsidence. In fact, Lone Star is in the process of a first of its kind subsidence study, the results of which will not come out until after this metric is implemented. It is not reasonable or fair to taxpayers to move forward using a metric that has no scientific justification. One of the best explanations I've heard for using pumping and municipal control is to think of an aquifer as a bathtub with a piece of a string sitting over the center of it representing a county line. If you start to remove water from one side, water on the other side goes down because aquifers don't know or respect county lines. They do respect their natural features, however. Therefore, we're asking for flexibility on how this DFC is implemented. Each area, each GCD, should be able to choose if this metric applies to them based on their local conditions. Creating flexibility on the one-foot rule allows us to protect your rights to use the groundwater you own. This arbitrary metric restricts residents' choice of how and when to use their water. This protects the freedom of Montgomery County residents to choose how and when they use groundwater rights rather than having it dictated to them. Therefore, we're respectfully asking that the court adopt a resolution calling for our proposed DFCs to be revised as follows. We'd ask for the adoption metric of the 70% of the remaining available drawdown for Lone Star, but to not adopt the one-foot subsidence metric for the district. Judge, I'll work with your office to come up with the verbiage for the resolution, and I would appreciate the commissioner's support and deliberation on approving that maybe next meeting.
Harry, thank you so much. We appreciate you coming and sharing this with us today.
Thank you.
All right. County Clerk, do I have a motion to approve items A and B on the agenda? It's the minutes. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. As we approach the consent agenda, I would like to make note that there have been a couple of things that we want to defer that have been brought to me. D2H in purchasing, that's on page 4 of 12. D2H, defer. And then HJ2, that's page 9. It's under County Judge to defer that. 10J2, page 9, to defer that as well.
I move with those changes.
All right. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Let's move to our open agenda. All right. As we move forward, emergency management, Jason Millsaps.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Morning.
Item A is our ongoing update of what's going on with the vaccines across the county. As of last night, county collectively, we've had 404,209 vaccines administered. Wood Forest Stadium has done 147,000 of those since March 1st. OEMs coordinated a little over 200,000 between our pop-up events, the vaccine site at Wood Forest, our airport location before it closed, and the fairground location before it closed. That's utilizing the three providers that we have, which was St. Luke's, Lone Star, and Montgomery County Public Health. Since May 1st, we now have 57 providers throughout the county. Those are predominantly pharmacies and hospitals and retail outlets like Walmart, CVS, and things like that. Plenty of locations to get it. Wood Forest's last day of operation is going to be June the 1st. That's going to be a Moderna shot day for those seeking their second shot with Moderna. June 1st is your last day to get it. And then the last day for Pfizer is going to be this Friday, May the 28th. As of June 2nd, next week, we'll be demobilizing Wood Forest site. It'll take us about 2 weeks to get off the site and turn it back over to Conner ISD. And the breakdown of those shots, now that we're using the 12 and up metric, since Pfizer's in the mix, we have an estimated 503,000 population 12 and up in the county. 47.7% of them have received at least one shot. 35.45% has been fully vaccinated. That's 178,000 fully vaccinated. The most vulnerable population, of course, still remains to be 65 and up. And as of yesterday, we were at 77% with at least one shot and 63.5% of that population with fully vaccinated. So we're reaching the demand has dramatically decreased in the last month, hence the reason why we're closing the mass sites. It's not feasible to continue like that. But there are 57 providers throughout the county to still help the population throughout the county that decide to elect to get them over the next several months.
How much of that equipment down at Wood Forest do we own?
The tents and the trailers, the barricades, most of that is on rental. There's a few LCD signs. One is Precinct 1. We have a few cones and barricades that belong to Precinct 4.
I'm worried about the tents.
Yeah. Okay. None of the tents. It's all rental equipment. Yeah. Yeah.
Jason, with this many people having their first shot, we know that there are plenty that haven't gotten their second. And the chances of them coming through by the end of this next week is all of those people coming in. If they can't, if they still want to get their second shot, can they get it at some other location if they can prove up the first?
More than likely, yes. That for instance, the providers that we utilize will still give the second shot at their location, at their at their offices, if they've received their first shot from them at the hub. We haven't given first shots at the hub in a considerable amount of time, so people have had that opportunity to get that second shot if they want it.
There has been a delay in the second shot. What's causing people to delay?
Several folks have indicated they don't want to feel sick after their second shot. There's a number of reasons why people choose not to get it. The efficacy of Pfizer and Moderna after one shot is actually better than Johnson & Johnson with one shot. So there's also that medical decision that people make, and then following doctor's orders. So,
all right. Thank you, Jason. Do we need to take any action on this?
No, sir.
All right.
Nope.
Item B,
similar to what we brought to the court a couple weeks ago with the city of Montgomery, we have the city of Willis that made a late request. The auditor has audited that request, and the audited amount was $1,876.51. If we approve that today, I recommend using the disaster fund, which the court set up last court.
All right. For $1,876.
To reimburse them. This were COVID expenses from March of 2020 through September 30th of last year.
All right. Do we have a motion to approve?
I move.
Is there a second?
Second.
In favor? Opposed?
Opposed.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Thank
appreciate
you,
that, Jason. All right. We have item number 12, Constable Precinct 3. We have deferred that item. So let's move on to Commissioners, Precinct 4.
Hey, this is in regards to Sheriff's Department. Consider and approve opening position 6601-4418, Deputy Detention Annualized Salary to be $73,694.40. Total salaries and benefit needed for remaining physical 2021 is $35,358.73. Funding come from the Precinct 4 Commissioner Operation Budget, and the budget authorized the budget office to make any changes. I move.
Second.
All right, is there any discussion?
I would like to say that we didn't start the program, Sheriff Henderson, I didn't, but it's been a successful program in regards to litter control in Precinct 4. I think maybe that originated with Commissioner Reinhart, but it's been ongoing with the commissioner and the sheriff in that precinct for some time, and it's worked very well for us. But due to the, I believe it was the jail commission that restricted the inmate from coming out and picking up the trash, but it's my understanding from the sheriff's department, but we'll be able to do that soon. Is that still on board? I hope so. We're doing this. So it's worked very well for us for litter control over there, and it lets the guys get out and take care of it. We've hired our own, but we have a lot to do in East County, and I appreciate the sheriff and his team for the joint venture here and continue that and to be able to help with litter control over there. So that's what this is about today.
Well, while you have – is there any discussion? Because I've got a question.
That's all.
Okay. While we have an annualized salary that we will – that you have mentioned that you would complete, was it $35,358 for the rest of this year's budget?
Yeah.
Then the annualized salary of $73,694, would you pick that up as well?
No. We'll discuss that in 2022 budget. This is 2021.
Okay, so I guess then my question is do we have to implement that today? And the reason that I ask this, Commissioner, is because we're, especially given our last conversation and some of the questions about where we're trying to get to.
I guess we have to, but I'll refer all those people to you that are grappling about the litter over there if you want to deal with them. But it's going really well. It's a wonderful program, and it has we have a terrible problem over there. And, yes, I want to do that today. The sheriff he's been waiting for them to come back out as well, and so have we. A lot of people have requested this. We get a number of requests on there. Why aren't the inmates back out there? Why are they not out there? And we're constantly having to explain, and I don't know if the Sheriff's Department people are having to do that, but we're constantly having to explain why they're not out there. It's not the sheriff's fault or mine. And the county and through your efforts has been open, and now the governor is releasing it, and we can get these folks back out there and help us with a terrible litter problem in Precinct 4.
What happened to the detention officer that used to oversee
that program, because in the past we've approved a very similar position with the sheriff's office for this very function. So where's this person at?
We will have that guy on traffic control over there, like on I'll use Salters Road. When we mow Salters Road over there, we have one of Rowdy's guys.
We need somebody else to
handle the litter part.
Sheriff, you remember if y'all had somebody assigned out of the jail that did this function under the previous commissioners? I seem to recall that we did.
We do. Tracy Wade is over there, the deputy that was in there. I needed him for traffic control while you moved him over to traffic control while the inmates couldn't come out because of the jail commission. And we still need him there desperately bad. When we mow Salters Road, we have to have a deputy in front and the back to keep somebody from getting killed.
So you just need another person.
We do.
All right, is there any more discussion? We have a motion and a second on the table. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? I will have to oppose that. Commissioner, is there anybody else? We have, is that 4-1? 3-2? What is it?
Opposed.
All right, thank you. Let's move forward. That motion passes. Precinct 4. Elections.
Thank you, sir.
Susie. Good morning.
Morning.
Consider, discuss, and if appropriate, take action on an upgrade to the county's voting system and options for funding. If you recall, after the November election, Commissioner Nowak brought up the issue of our voting system being at end of life, and I'm here to follow up on that conversation.
Okay.
Our voting system was originally purchased in 2005, and in that particular system, the only units that are available for purchase anymore are used. The only parts that are available for repairs, which are needed pretty frequently, are also used. And all of that is in a limited supply. As it stands now, we were spread very thin for the November election as far as equipment, especially when we added the early voting locations that we needed, and that, you know, spread our standby equipment even further on short supply. So we're just at our bare bones right now for another full-scale election like that, which could, you know, be November of next year. But next year is not necessarily a good time to want to implement any new system because of the number of elections that we'll have and the nature of primary elections.
How many voting machines would you need right now?
For a brand new system, about 1,900.
Wow. And you can't mix the old ones with the new ones. They've got to all be on the same deal, right?
They're not compatible, right.
And are these the new voting machines that give you the audit trail and give you everything that people are really wanting?
That's right. The new systems are paper-based, so that there is a required manual count for audit purposes after the election is over.
But you still can't walk out of your polling place or your precinct with something showing that how you voted.
No, that's not legal in Texas.
That's a legislative issue.
Right, no.
But there is a hard copy record of it.
There is a hard copy, but it stays in the precinct counters, yes.
Okay. Well, what would 1,900 new voting machines cost?
The most recent, for the upgrade system with the same vendor that we currently use, the most recent estimate that I have is between $8.5 and $9 million.
And this same vendor, he's a guy from here in Texas that does?
They're based out of Austin.
That's right.
Yes.
$8.5 to $9 million?
Right, for the entire system, including the hardware and software to create the election database, program all the machines, including all of the machines. And these come, because it's a paper-based system, it has additional components. Because it's a separate touchscreen system where you mark your ballot, it prints the ballot, and then the ballot that's printed has to be scanned into a separate detached unit that tabulates.
Is there anything that has to be done at any of the precincts to be able to use these machines? We have to upgrade anything anywhere that you're aware of? in any of the voting boxes?
As far as the polling places?
Yeah.
No.
Is there, concerning the current machines that we have, it has come up for question, but to hear what your thoughts are on this, we use the Hart machines, correct?
That's right.
And there, from everything that I know, we've studied, we've looked at, people that we've talked to, that the current machines are just old. We need some more,
right.
And they're just...
They're breaking down.
Yeah, they're breaking down. But is there any integrity issues with those machines, given how they're established?
We haven't had any issues with accuracy with the machines at all, and we test them extensively before the election. We test the tabulation before, during, and after the election, and all of those things are required by law, and we haven't found any issues with the accuracy of it.
So it's really a function of we just need new machines. We need newer machines, and in your judgment, these would give us the continued integrity that we have right now.
Right, in addition to the fact that they would have the security features of the paper backups.
Anybody using these last year? Did anybody, have these machines been used before?
Yeah, there are a number of Texas counties that use these machines.
Any problems with those counties that you're aware of?
No.
Do the old machines that we have now, do they have any value, or they just throw them in the trash, or
they destroy them.
Okay.
Yes. There has been a guarantee from Hart InterCivic that they would. Last year, we did purchase about $650,000 worth of additional equipment for the November election, and they will. That price that they've quoted includes a credit of the cost, the total cost that we paid last year.
Ooh. Sarvi, you want 1,900 new machines. How many, what's the most number of machines you've ever put out during a general election?
In November, we put out close to 1,500.
So the remaining 400, they would just be for?
Well, to make up.
That's about $3.5 million for 400 machines. What are we buying them for?
To make up for the fact that we were spread too thin. If we have, you know, we had some locations, several, that had as few as six machines, and if they had significant breakdown issues on election day, we wouldn't have anything to replace it with.
And is this something that, have you looked at other machines that are out there in the marketplace and worked with purchasing and buy board to see all of the different options? Because to me, I just got the information from your office today, this morning at 8:35,
right,
on the backup. So, to me, it's premature to ask us to approve this. I'm assuming this is
I'm
just
not
informational.
Asking for, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. There's nothing official.
If you don't mind, what I'd like to suggest is work with purchasing. And they do a really good job.
I have spoken with Gilbert.
Of putting together a team of people throughout the county where you go through the process of analyzing several different vendors, bring them in, see how their machines work, talk to other folks, not just rely on this one vendor.
No, this is just informational,
okay.
And there's only one other vendor that's a competitor, and there are two other vendors, but one is only operating in two small counties, so there's really only one other consideration, and we have looked at their system. We've had two different demonstrations online so far, and are looking forward to an in-person demonstration as well on that system.
Good, and then the last question is, would any of the entities that we hold elections for be able to share in the cost of these new machines?
They do share in the cost in the way that's allowed by statute, which is when we hold elections for them, we can charge them for the use of the equipment up to 10% of the original purchase price per unit. And we do that now, yes.
The last time we talked, you had shopped around, and you have talked to different people.
You've
looked at several different vendors and machines.
The two, right.
Okay.
We've looked at both of them, and they're...
Was Gilbert involved in that?
No, he wasn't involved in the actual review of the equipment, but we have talked about what contracts are available.
Okay.
Susie, we have legislation in the House of Representatives on voter integrity issues. You know about SB 7, which was passed... HB 6, which was the companion to that. There is another one that has to do with machines that, to my understanding, is still pending in this. Are you familiar with that? That has to do with the actual machine.
Regarding straight party voting and that type of thing?
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. You've taken that all into consideration in relation
to this? Yes, I've checked to make sure that the systems that we've looked at are not subject to any change based on that.
Okay. Do you also, is it the kind of situation where you could get a machine out to us where we could all look at it and see it, see how it works, test drive it, if you will?
I've already done that.
Have
you?
We do have
on this particular machine
a couple of units.
About?
Right. We do have a couple of units that we've borrowed just for that purpose to review. But it's just from the heart system. We don't have anything from the competitor system, at least as of yet.
Are you currently in possession of the machines that you're talking about right now?
Yes.
So if we wanted to, we'd come down
you
to your office
and take
a look
at it. That's right.
Them. Okay. All right.
Excuse me. I think my question is, where does the money come from?
Yeah, that's, I think, what the bottom line here for everybody is,
right.
What we're leading up to is...
I think we need new equipment, and when we discussed all this, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, it's like major. But we can't replace just part of the machines because they will not, you know, work together.
You know, given that, can we, may I make a suggestion? Can we have... Gilbert get involved, or purchasing involved with this, and ask those questions and figure out what programs they have. It could be we could lease it for 15 years, I don't know, or something like that, where you have an annual cost that's less than ponying up $8 or $9 million.
I would like to see the court consider what she's saying, consider that she's done her homework. We're going to need these machines, and the longer we wait, everybody's going to be wanting to buy machines. And this seems to be the guy in Texas or the company in Texas everybody's going to be going with. So I would think we need to figure out how to come up with this money, get this on the agenda as soon as we can, move forward and purchase these new voting machines.
And they have...
We need them now.
Yeah, they have them in stock at this time.
Yeah, okay. Commissioner, the last time that recommendation was made, we ended up purchasing a system called N4 that has been a complete disaster. I suggest we take some time and do this the right way and look at all possible vendors that are out there, not just rush into this. And this needs to be more than a decision made by just Susie Harvey.
Well, I think Susie Harvey knows more about election laws and election machines than anybody in here. So
I agree.
That's who we need to be talking to.
Same thing you said about N4.
I didn't have anything to do with how N4 ended up here.
You were the only person who voted for N4 that said
I didn't have anything to do with how they were
okay,
picked.
Okay, let's remain on the voting machines.
Oh.
Concerning Susie.
I knew that was coming sooner or later.
Concerning your knowledge of voting machines and legalities and whatnot. Gentlemen, that's a function of us getting up to speed and just reading the documentation. It's available to all of us, but it would seem to me that with given this kind of expense, that we ought to look at what are the alternatives. Plus, we're still in the middle of a legislative issue on one particular machine. So once that's resolved, we know where we are on integrity issues having to do with SB7. That's already a done deal. So as it relates to the machine, though, we have legislation still pending. And once that's – we can move forward, I would suggest with the commissioners that we have Gilbert take a look at these and find out payment options and find out what we need to do, what's realistic. And then once we find out what that legislation is, if we need to come back and make a decision at that time, do it. And we have a little bit of time. I would agree with the commissioner. We're running out of time. We need to move pretty quickly on this.
We don't have a lot of time, in your opinion. We're going to make up our mind pretty quick in regards to this. Is that Stan?
Yes and no. There's definitely time to make a good decision and the right decision.
I think we should not rush to it. Let's see what else. There's only one other vendor out there.
Another vendor and one system.
That sells a piece of equipment that would work.
Right.
Let's anybody look into else that, and then we make a hard copy do?
I'm sorry?
Anyone else do the hard copy? Like you're talking about?
Yes, the other system that we've reviewed also does the a paper ballot that's reviewable and auditable.
In your opinion, why would you look at this one over that one then?
Just to make sure we're making the right decision. Oh, the heart
why are you,
system
yeah.
over it? Well, several reasons. Our systems that we have in place now for database and ballot creation would transition more easily to the new system. That's a major concern. You know, relationships with the vendor that we trust and rely on. We have great relationship with them and their service level and the system itself. To the extent that we're, you know, familiar with it, we've only had two demos with the other system, so we do need to review that further.
Okay. We might make a suggestion then that we defer this item until within either the next court or the one after that, but very soon. Let's get this information together, come back and share it with us with Gilbert, and see what we need to do to move forward from there. Does that make sense? Everybody agree? I mean, without
for you, Ms.
making an official motion.
Yes.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Susie. We appreciate that so much.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. All right. County Attorney. Precinct 1.
Excuse me. Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Morning.
15A, we ask the court to consider and approve or take appropriate action on an economic development agreement proposed between Montgomery County and Hewlett-Packard Enterprises related to the relocation of HPE's aviation services, aviation department to the Montgomery Conroe North Houston Airport.
We have representatives from HP here this morning.
Are they here?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Ms. Scott is here. Mildred Scott is here from HPE. Basically, the structure, the proposal for HPE is they're going to move their flight operations from California to the Conroe North Houston Regional Airport and make $1.8 million worth of hangar improvements at the Galaxy FBO and move, you know, currently they have a $24, $25 million jet that they're moving to, excuse me, moving to Montgomery County. And in addition, I believe it's about 12 people, full-time residents. In fact, I was speaking to Ms. Scott today. She thinks they've already bought houses in Montgomery County. They're very looking forward to this for a term of 10 years. And this is a development agreement under 381. It's not a tax abatement. And part of that is, one, they're doing hangar improvements, but also the way business aircraft is taxed, it depends how many takeoffs and flights and how often they are in the county. So we don't know what the value will be until the previous year. So the proposal is along the same lines as our other 381 agreements. We're going to a percentage, the proposal of 75% of the M&O, we still exclude debt service, 75% of that. But as in the other 381s, they will be paying the taxes and they will receive a payment, annual payment, in August of the following year. So really, you know, the amount of payment could vary significantly between each year because of the, depending on the use of the business aircraft and how often it is taxed in Montgomery County.
Okay.
You know, there, you know, we can talk some about the benefit. There, you know, it's going to be a major corporate presence at the airport, which we believe is a significant benefit to Montgomery County.
Yeah, it's a big deal for us. It's going to bring a lot of, I spoke with her this morning, and Hewlett-Packard's a big deal, and this could lead to future things. So I move on this.
A second.
Good job, Commissioner awesome. Walker. Sounds like y'all did your homework on it, and landing HP at our airport's a big deal.
Commissioner, did I hear you say a second?
Yes, sir.
All right. Is there any more discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Motion carries. And welcome to Montgomery County.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Let's move forward. We're going to temporarily recess Montgomery County Commissioner's Court to convene public hearings. Amy?
Consider and approve an amendment to the Montgomery County subdivision rules and regulations allowing the use of corrugated, I can't even say that, polypropylene pipe for culvert and storm sewer applications. Is there anybody here to discuss that? And somebody else to read it? Okay. Under Precinct 2, consider the partial replats of lots 1 through 57, reserves A, B, C, D, G of Block 1, and lots 1 through 28 of Block 2 of the Del Webb Woodland Section 8, to be known as Delwood, the Woodland Section 8, partial replat number 1. The purpose is to create 56 residential lots. No objections have been received. The plat is submitted under agenda item number 17B. Is anybody here to speak about? Consider the partial replats of lots 1 through 10, Block 9, of Phase 1 Blue Jack National, to be known as Blue Jack National, Phase 1A partial replat. The purpose is to reconfigure lots 1 through 10. No objection has been received. The HOA has been notified, but the plat is not ready today. But is anybody here to speak about it? Precinct 3. Commissioner, do you want to read that or you want me to?
Go ahead. You're
consider and approve no parking zones and placement of signs, no parking anytime tow-away zone on both sides of Panther Bend Court and on the eastbound roadway of Woodland Field Crossing between Sawdust Road and Panther Bend Court. Is anybody here to speak about that? Okay. And item D, this is actually Precinct 1 instead of Precinct 4. So consider the partial replat of lot R2, Block 2 of Cape Conroe, Section 1, to be known as Cape Conroe, Section 1, partial replat number 2. The proposed application for a partial replat of lot R2 is to create 3 single-family residential lots. No objection received from the HOA, but we did receive an objection by the Stanley Lake MUD. The plat is submitted for approval today under 17A. Is anybody here to speak about this? Come on up.
Morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for allowing us to discuss this. This is Kerry Mason. I'm Michael Sullivan. I'm an engineer with Blyle Engineering here in Conroe. I am the district engineer for Stanley Lake MUD.
And I'm the president of Stanley Lake MUD.
I wish to express the sentiments of Stanley Lake Board in regards to the replatting of the reserve R2 in Cape Conroe. The board has 2 major concerns with the replatting of the property from a reserve to a residential use. First is the district owns a 24-foot deep, 30-inch gravity sanitary sewer line that runs across the property. It's actually on the property line, but it's still on the property. It warrants a 20-foot easement. It does not have a formal easement on the property. But it's been there since the district was developed. That sewer line carries all of the sewage from the west end of the district into the wastewater treatment plant at that location. That's where our major lift station is for the wastewater treatment plant. All of the drainage from the wastewater treatment plant drains onto this property, as well as a significant amount of the drainage from the rest of the district onto this property. So that brings me to the second point, and that is drainage concerns and flooding. Flooding has been a problem here in Montgomery County. We know this. And I've been advised by county staff that there are no grounds to prevent the annexation. I think flooding is a significant concern. The district has that concern. I do want to point out that the plat for Cape Conroe, Section 1, specifically states that all existing drainage ways, paths, ditches, channels have a 30-foot drainage easement on them. This property has a major significant channel across it. It has 2 type E inlets on the property that drain across Lake View Drive into almost directly into Lake Conroe. That drainage channel runs across all 3 of the lots that are proposed for platting. So there's been no drainage study done on the property that we've been made aware of. Again, the district provides water and sewer to all the residents in the development, and they have significant concerns that if we put homes here, not only will these three homes be subject to flooding, but other homes in the subdivision, as well as the lift station at our wastewater treatment plant. Nobody wants sewage floating around in their subdivision. So the Sand Lake Board respectfully requests that the court reject the request for replat.
The only thing to add as the president of the MUD is that our lift station, as you mentioned, is directly adjacent to this property. It's a this property, these three lots, or this three this section proposed to three lots, is a natural low spot. They've had some buildup of additional fill already placed there, but I would assume a builder would want it to build it higher. That drainage that runs through there now would be susceptible to backing up into our lift station, which would violate the rules of for our MUD, for the state, and we would have a raw sewage spill. Our pumps would be inundated. We can't match the natural flow of water should they do anything to cause the water level to rise above where it is now. So that's our concern, is that something would happen on that property to make it more buildable that would cause additional water retention onto the sewer plant and into our lift station.
So, Michael, so we're clear, what you're asking us to do is to not accept this item D1, which it has to do with the Cape Conroe section of the John Corner survey. Is that the one you're talking about?
That is correct.
Yeah. And yes, because of that, it does not meet standards of what it should meet for whether it's flooding, whether it's the sewage that goes through the area. Okay. So my question is this, because we always struggle with personal property rights and people being able to do what they want to do with their property. I mean, this is Texas, right? So that's what we believe. And but you're asking us, based upon that it doesn't meet the standards, to reject this, correct?
That is correct, sir. Also have an obligation to that any landowner doesn't flood another landowner. That's also a state law.
Let me ask a question to the county attorney's office. Amy, do we have the ability to even deny this plat?
So while he has concerns, we've spoken to our engineering, and on minor replats like this, we don't require another drainage study. Our engineering department has looked at this, and they have put it on the agenda for approval today. We don't have a legal basis to deny this. If you want additional information, or if you've heard something here that you want us to look into, we could consider that. But I haven't heard anything today. We've spoken with the MUD's council. We've given as a courtesy to tell them what our concerns were, and that our engineering department, for what you have in front of you today, what we would typically do as a county, we would approve this today. There are no concerns out of the county.
What do you want to do, Mr.
This is just brought up to me this morning. This is the first I've really. I mean, we caught it that it was in the wrong place on the agenda, but if speaking with Amy and the attorney's office, they don't find anything. They say that engineering is okay with it. I personally, for just me, I hate to. I would like to maybe table this and come back. You know, just for my sake, because I don't want to. You know, I'm not into anybody's property getting flooded.
Right, and we're in a public hearing, so when we get to agenda item 17A, I'll let you know which one it is.
And then we can take a look at it to satisfy
what we
need to, and then bring it back.
I would like for my guys, and let's go out and take a look at it, because I can't visualize anything we're talking about here. So
sounds good, Commissioner.
I'd like to look at it and see before I would make a decision.
Okay.
Judge, just for the record, I am a strong proponent as well of personal property rights as a Texan, and we're just weighing the rights of one versus the surrounding property. It's a really low area, and I just don't want one to affect many. So, but
sure.
I want to, you know, whoever owns a property has a right to use it.
Sure. And nobody's doubting that at all. We need, I think Commissioner Walker is saying we need more information.
Is there anything on that property right now? Nothing's there? It's just bare ground?
Well, let me clarify. Several years ago, the previous homeowner actually put a bunch of fill on the property, probably filled about 3 feet into the property, as well as put several drainage culverts and drainage inlets on the property. There was no engineering design done.
As far
called
as
me at the time and said, this is what I'm going to do. And I said, well, you need to do an engineering design.
Did it change the flow of drainage, what he
no,
did?
No, still the property still floods.
Amy, is it?
We'd be happy to meet with you. We meet you out on the site anytime you like.
That's what I was.
So we're
like
in public hearing right now. We're not going
to
take any action. So this is just to receive public comment. And what I'm hearing is when we get to 17A, we'll take it up then.
All right.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen. BD?
Let me make sure you understand the role of Commissioner Court in this. Under the local government code, basically, if a replat meets all our platting requirements, you really don't have the discretion to deny it unless it interferes with established rights of a property owner within the subdivision. And what engineering has said, you know, it meets all our subdivision requirements. And the purpose of the public hearing is to hear basically if there anyone has established rights that it will be affected by just the replat. Now, a lot of what you're hearing is, well, if they build on this or if they do that, you know, drainage could be affected. Well, those are things that certainly can be taken care of in any, and you have those duties when you build on property. Commissioner's Court is there to decide whether this replat should be done or not.
Right, and we try to explain
if it meets
that.
All the requirements of the of our regulations of the statutes, and if it does not interfere with established rights of a property owner in the subdivision, then really you have no discretion. The property owner could sue you. Sue Commissioner's Court and have a mandamus district court say you must approve the plat.
Right.
So that's really the focus is, do you hear that there are established rights that are being affected by the replat, not by what may be built upon, but by the replat?
Well, if you're going to replat a piece of property, I mean, that would make me think three spots we're fixing to do something there. But I do understand what you're saying. And that makes perfectly good sense, but let's just wait.
Yeah, and I understand it certainly would be appropriate to defer the item when it comes up. Yeah. There's no problem.
Thank you for the clarification.
Issues where if we, it's a shall approve plat, if we don't approve it 30 days after we fail to take action, it's automatically approved? Does that happen on this one?
I think the provision we've taken is on that particular statute that the replat isn't applicable at this point, and so there's different provisions in the statute that requires notice and such. So that 30-day automatic approval
will not apply here.
We're
so
not.
If we fail to act, it won't just get approved.
No.
Correct.
Got it.
That's correct.
Just wanted to make sure.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it so much.
Now we're really
we
on
forward.
To we're really on to precinct 4. This is actually in precinct 4. Consider the partial replat of lot 71 of Security Subdivision Section 2 to be known as Security Subdivision Replat Number 1. The purpose of the replat 1 is to replat one lot into three lots. No objection or concerns received. The HOA has not been found. The plat has been submitted for approval under item number 17C. Is anybody here to speak about that? Judge, do you want to reconvene?
All right, thank you. Let's reconvene court. And there's a lot of moving parts here,
right.
Amy, so if you'd walk us through it, please.
Can I have a motion to approve items 16A and 16C?
Move. Second.
All in favor?
Whoa.
16A and 16...
Oh. I thought it was B and C. I'm
not
voting on.
Do Cape Conroe today.
I apologize.
C.
B and C.
B and C. 16B. 16A is the subdivision rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
correct.
Polypropylene.
I understand. I'm not on county engineer. I'm taking the ones that are not going under county engineer at this point. I'm looking at item 16, not item 17.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
16A is on the pipes.
16A is on the rules and regulations on the pipes and the culverts. Can I have an item and a motion on that?
I move.
Okay.
There's all in favor?
Opposed.
Motion carries. Thank you.
Right, and 16C is on the no parking zone emplacement signs. That's why I was doing those.
All right.
Yes. Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Motion carries. Thank you.
And on item 17A, that is Cape Conroe, the one we had the objection to. Is there a motion? Are we going to defer that?
I say let's defer that.
Okay.
You have a second? Oh, do we need a motion?
Nope, you
okay,
don't.
Okay, good. Let's just defer. Thank you.
Okay, and now on the items 17, B, and C, Precincts 2 and Precincts 4. Move. Do I have a motion on those?
You have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Sorry,
motion carries.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you all so much. Thank you, Amy, for helping us keep on track there. All right. At this time, we're going to dismiss for executive session. The court recess for executive session pursuant to one or more of the following provisions of the Texas Government Code, to wit, Chapter 551, Subchapter D, Articles 551.071. Thank you all, and we're here.
Probably Pollyanna.
All right. As we move forward, we're coming back from our executive session. We have recently received from Judge McDonald, who is in the County Court of Law Number 3, that she is going to be resigning her position. She's retiring. I hate to see her go. She's been a great asset to the county. She thanks the county for everything, but she believes that it is her time at this point for some personal concerns for her to be leaving. So as I have looked at this and as the letter came to me, and I thought about what we could do in meanwhile, if Judge McDonald is going to leave, what are we going to do between now and next year? And I looked into, do we find a visiting judge that we pay the expense of keeping around, who possibly doesn't either know the culture or doesn't understand all the aspects of what is going on, but they would fit into that position, but it would be a considerable expense? Or do we appoint a particular person? And we have a person that has come across that is for transitional purposes. There's no way an endorsement. We know that there are possible other people that will move in the future to run for this position. But I guess we need to appoint, and I would like to make a motion that we appoint Amy Tucker to take over this position. She is currently the associate judge, and of which I think would give us the least amount of possible disruption, and would be really a seamless move in transition. And I would like to make a motion to that. And if there is a second, then I would like to discuss.
And it would be effective upon the retirement of Judge McDonald.
Judge McDonald, yes, that's pursuant to her retirement.
Judge, were other people interested in the position?
There are some other people, I think, in the position. They're going to come forward, I think, when the timing is, you know, because this is going to be an election. And even at that, the reason that I would recommend Judge Tucker, Associate Judge Tucker, is because she has been working in this. She's been working in the field of this CPS for many, many, many years, has experience in that, and has worked in the county government, and I think represents the least amount of disruption, or better, a seamless move between the two when she does retire. And then with her knowledge that she would move forward and she would run for the position, and it's not an endorsement on our part. We need to make a decision here.
Absolutely, and I'm not sure. I spoke with some other judges about the appointment process, and first, as the county attorney's office pointed out, it's something we shall appoint someone.
Yes.
As a vacancy of a commission, as a CCL court, so we can't just sit and do nothing. And, you know, appointing a judge is always one of those things where, you know, we'd all much rather let the people decide. And
sure.
So
yeah.
I'm viewing this more as a placeholder for consistency for the court and for the people that have cases pending in CCL3.
Yes.
And so I'll second your nomination, and then with the caveat that ultimately this is for the people to decide. And, you know, this is a caretaker position as
yeah.
far as I'm concerned. At the moment.
I agree with that.
I agree also.
You agree with that? All right. Do we have a motion and a second? Any more discussion? Then all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Motion carries. And then we will move forward with Associate Judge Tucker for this position as an appointment. You're with us? Thank you very much. We appreciate you being here today. All right. Are there any citizens that would like to make any comments on anything that we have not discussed or they would like to discuss? If there are not, then do I have a motion to adjourn?
Move. Second.
All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you all very much.